Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you know what equilibrium is? Well, if you don't know the answer, don't worry, because we're going to discover what equilibrium is today. Now tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to connect your emotional intelligence and your career success? Have you ever wondered why you need to know, why you need to think before you act? Well, that's something we all need to work on. Now, would you like to learn what happens when you are three steps ahead of office drama? Now, have you ever heard of a book called Equilibrium? Unleash the Power of Your Emotional Intelligence. Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to find a proven path to career success? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'll be introducing you to my guest. She is a success coach extraordinaire, and she will provide us with wonderful information and inspiration and some really, really great advice about using your emotional intelligence. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk4Media and syndicated on iHeartRadio Talk with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. What if you could be three steps ahead of the underhanded games people play at work? The book Equilibrium, Unleash the Power of Your Emotional Intelligence, A Proven Path to Career Success, is research-based and provides everyday workplace scenarios that people encounter. Throughout the book, my guest shares inspiring success stories, easy-to-understand solutions, inspirational quotes, and self-assessment questions. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Yvette Bethel. Hi, Yvette. How are you today?
Hi, January. It's great to be in the no whining zone. And
Yeah, I can tell already just from our conversation before we went on the air that you are definitely not a whiner.
No.
And yeah, and you strive to be a winner. And share with my listeners where your success story began, where you were born, and who your early mentors were.
Well, my story began working 9 to 5 in a large bank. It was based in 30 countries.
Oh, wow.
And I enjoyed what I did. But after working there for about 20 years, I decided that it was time for me to live my dream. And my dream was always to step out into my own business and fly, you know. Was well, always to do that, and I kept putting it off. But eventually, after traveling every other week for the company, not having time to plan, I decided to take the leap.
Okay. Now, when you took this leap, did you have any mentors that encouraged you or helped you do it?
You know, I have to admit, I had mentors along the way, and there were many people that mentored me. Mm-hmm. But when I took the leap, that was a deeply personal decision. Uh-huh. That had to do with the passing of my father.
Oh, okay.
Who, when he passed away, he seemed to have something within him that he felt like he wasn't finished.
Okay.
And that affected me deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. As a result of that, that's what gave me the courage to step out into my own business.
Mm-hmm. Now, share with us a little bit. I think that you may be the first Fulbright scholar that I've interviewed on the show. What was that experience like? How did you get chosen for that?
Oh, that process was quite interesting. Mm-hmm. What happened was we had interviews. There were a number of people who were interviewed, and there were 4 scholarships available. And I came 5th.
Okay.
And, you know, I decided, well, I'm not going to let that affect me.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to continue to remain positive and keep trying. And, you know, 1 month after they told me I came 5th, they said that someone had given up their scholarship. And I was able to go.
Oh, wonderful. And so tell us how long you went for and tell us where you went and what kind of an experience was it?
Well, I went to Rochester Institute of Technology, which is based in New York, upstate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I studied finance, if you would.
Okay.
I did a master's degree in finance. It actually helped me a lot in the work that I'm doing now because it helped me to see a full picture of the business. It's just not one perspective.
Mm-hmm. So now, how long were you up in, at Rochester?
I was there for 2 years. I completed a master's degree there.
Okay. Wow. And the
Fulbright Foundation selects the school.
Oh, okay. I see. Is that how it works? All right.
Yes.
Yeah. I think President Clinton was also a Fulbright scholar.
Oh, I think he was a Rhodes Scholar.
He was a Rhodes Scholar. Okay. Yes. That's different. Well, this is very impressive, and you're my first scholar.
Well,
now, where do you live now?
Right now, I live in the Bahamas.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have family from there?
Yes, I do. My entire family there.
Now, isn't it an amazing world? Because here you are with your new book, Equilibrium, and I know you're going to be doing a virtual book tour, and you can do this from the Bahamas. It's amazing technology that we have for ourselves right now, don't we?
Oh, it's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I can't begin to tell you. It's almost like every year the technology evolves and there's something else available. It's just a great adventure.
Okay. Now, talking about adventures, I want to talk a little bit about what prompted you to write this book. Was it started as part of your master's program or did it come after?
It definitely came after. Because after my master's program, I was assigned to HR, the HR department.
Mm-hmm.
And I came in and out of HR. I worked in various departments. But in my last role working full-time as an employee, I was responsible for HR in 8 countries.
Oh,
so
wow.
All of the country heads for HR reported to me.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I started creating a list. And this was a list that I entitled The Games People Play at Work.
Okay. That's a good title for a book.
Well, it is. And that list started to intrigue me so much because there were so many things that people do to one up and, you know, get ahead and create status and, you know, office politics. Uh-huh. I wrote almost 50 pages of just notes of what I observed during my time in that role.
Okay. And you had this book, and how long did it take you to take this list and create a book?
Well, I did two things with the list. Mm-hmm. I created the book, Equilibrium. Mm-hmm. That took me about 2 years. But I also created a simulation called The Games People Play at Work.
Oh, okay, okay.
That goes along with the book.
Okay. So, and it's like a workbook and a playbook, isn't it?
Yes, I have a workbook as well.
Mm-hmm. This is brilliant. And I'm sure that with all of your experience, you were able to create this wonderful book, this wonderful experience. Now, when you're talking to people and they want to know how to have a healthy organizational culture at work and how to avoid the games people play, what is one of the first things you tell them to do?
Well, two things. To have a healthy culture, the only, when you think about that, the only person you can change is yourself. Okay. And that's where emotional intelligence starts, with you. You have to know yourself, you have to choose yourself, and then you have to give of yourself, which is the social part of the model.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to do with that whole introspective process and self-regulation. Now, how to avoid the games people play?
Yeah.
To answer that question, I always say, no matter if you engage the game or not, you're in the game. Mm-hmm. And if you don't learn how to manage your emotions and manage the situation, you get played. Mm-hmm. And so the people that I work with, in terms of my coach, the people that I work with, the coaching and cultural change projects, we work toward building the person and the leaders first.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then we start to cascade that and develop structures and plans to help the entire culture to shift. But that takes time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it does. And I know it takes time to write a book. How long did it take you to write your book?
The first book took me about 2 years to write, and it almost took me 2 years to publish.
Mm-hmm.
So 4 years altogether.
Mm-hmm. That's about average amount of time most of my guests share with us who have written a book. It's a big block of time that you have to devote yourself to, and you have to focus. And speaking of focus, we're going to focus on our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to discuss with Yvette the importance of think before you act. We'll be right back.
Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Miller, the great success creator. Miles is a 2-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com. The moment after you serve your customer, what will they tell the world? Social media has us so connected that a single voice has unprecedented power to benefit and to harm. What do your customers say? Do you know? Do you respond? What do you say? For years, Steve Holtquist has been helping businesses use the internet to be more productive and successful. Now he's showing businesses how to go back to the future, fostering and empowering relationships. Learn how to work in this new world. Find Steve at infinitesummit.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Whine Zone. We're visiting today with Yvette Bethel, and she is the author of Equilibrium, Unleash the Power of Your Emotional Intelligence. Her book helps readers to take their emotional intelligence into their own hands. It helps you improve your emotional intelligence skills, provides you with practical strategies you can use to improve team communication dynamics, manage conflict, engage in office politics constructively, and lead a diverse team. This is a major book that I've been happy to share with our listeners, and it took Yvette 4 years to write it. Now, what does Librium mean?
Librium. EQ stands for your emotional quotient, and Librium stands for balance.
Balance, okay.
So just using your emotional quotient to bring balance into your life.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you wrote this book, one of the topics is how to contribute to morale, improve morale in the workplace. Could you give us suggestions on how people can do that?
There's something in emotional intelligence called emotional contagion, and it's because emotions act like a virus, and once somebody comes into work with a certain experience, mm-hmm. and emotion associated with that experience, it starts to move around within the team like a virus, and that's one way that morale is impacted.
Uh-huh.
And with the model that I work with in emotional intelligence, the focus is on knowing yourself and choosing to be someone or choosing to respond differently. And within that process, persons, in knowing themselves, they have to identify, first of all, you know, what is it that I'm feeling? Because a lot of times people have this vague sense of, I don't feel so hot, or this makes me uh-huh. feel bad. And they use generic terms. And without that skill of emotional literacy and that ability to name the emotions, it's really difficult to deal with or address them.
Oh.
So, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking about what you're saying, and you have an environment where you have positive emotions and negative, and according to you, both of these things can spread like a virus, right?
That's it. So depending on what's spreading at the
yeah.
time, it affects morale. And that's part of the reason why morale moves. It's dynamic, it's mm-hmm. interesting, and sometimes it can be debilitating if it's not managed effectively.
Okay. And communicating effectively is another topic that you address in your book. And I'm sure that this is a big problem for a lot of people in the workplace, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I think we when I talk about communication, I'm thinking about it from the point of view of verbal, where mm-hmm. you watch what you say. But there's that whole nonverbal world.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't manage as effectively. So they may say something, but their body language is saying something else. And as we all know, the body language is probably correct.
Yeah, I'm sure. Absolutely. So now what do you tell people when they have nonverbal issues? How do they deal with that?
Well, that's where the coaching and where I work with people to help them to become aware of their nonverbals and how to detect when those nonverbals are active. For instance, if I'm sending a nonverbal message that I'm not aware of, I can tell that something's coming through that may not be quite aligned with what I'm saying by the way the person's nonverbals respond. So I just watch the person, and then I take a step back if I need to manage the situation and the emotion of that situation.
You write about it's important to think before you act, but sometimes that's very difficult to do, isn't it?
You know, depending on the author, that thought and action connection takes seconds. So yes, you're correct. It's very difficult to do. But we can rewire our neurons so that that thought action process can be changed over time. Yes, it won't be perfect at first, but yes, it can be changed just through applying yourself and correcting it each time, changing that habit.
Yeah, and the more you do it positively, I bet the better you get at doing it. Now, when you're connecting emotional intelligence with career success, do most people understand what this connection means to them?
I'm not so sure about that because most people tend to, well, I shouldn't say most, a lot of people tend to allow their emotions to run away with them, not understanding the impact it's having on their performance. For instance, there've been tests done or surveys done where a group of salespersons were trained with emotional intelligence skills, and a control group was not. And the persons who were trained made significantly more money for the company because you know they were able to better empathize with the clients and not oversell or push. You know, they learned to listen and sell from that as opposed to pushing their intentions or imposing their will on the client.
Okay. This is very interesting. Now, in your book, you research and explore over 50 real life workplace scenarios that leaders will encounter. And you're using easy-to-understand language, providing solutions to difficult situations and thought-provoking self-assessment questions. Could you give us an example of one of those 50 scenarios that people encounter at work?
Okay, let me think. An easy one would be one scenario we can talk about is emotional contagion, since I explained what it is. And you can have an employee that comes into work one day and they had a bad evening the night before. They may have had some type of altercation with a family member, but they come into work with a kind of a somber and, you know, withdrawn attitude. And no one at work knows what happened the night before, but they feel the tension. They feel that attitude that the person is projecting. And that person, within the interactions during that morning, they can seem to be a little bit more curt than usual. And persons can take offense to that. So you see the anger that person is coming to work with is now being transferred to other people at work. And unless everybody's aware of what's happening within themselves, it's really difficult to break that, because people start to take that anger personally. And it's not really, it's not personal at all. It just happens, it just so happens that that person hasn't been able to self-regulate effectively. Mm-hmm. Or even at all. They may not even know that that's something that they should do.
Yeah, that's probably more the case. You know, talking about regulation, we're going to hear from my regular sponsors. And when we come back, Yvette is going to share her website information. And she's also going to share how you can get this wonderful book. Actually, there's two books here. And then we're going to talk about some of the games people play at work. We'll be right back with Yvette Bethel, who is visiting with us from the Bahamas.
Are you pursuing your passion, doing what you really want to do in life? Do you ever feel everyone around you is succeeding, leaving you behind, feeling unhappy and unsatisfied with your life? There are many ways to become successful, but getting there is half the battle. In his book, Finding Your Road to Success, How to Get There Without Getting Lost, Patrick Daniel shares tips on what it really takes to be successful. As a CPA, chartered professional accountant, author, life coach, charity founder, investor, and family man, Patrick lives success every day of his life. Connect with Patrick at www.findingyourroadtosuccess.com. January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in four different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
I'm also pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is also available at audiblebooks.com. We have a priceless personality visiting with us today. She is my first guest who has ever Skyped in from the Bahamas, and she is my first Fulbright scholar. So I'm pleased to have her on the show. And we are pleased to share your website. I have it on my screen, and I want to share with our listeners what a fantastic resource this is. Yvette has a blog. She has her store. She even has a free EQ download if you go to her website. And also, she will be doing a virtual book tour. Now, Yvette, share with us a little bit about virtual book tour. I think some of my listeners would be curious how that plays out.
Well, the virtual book tour has been a journey for me, and a wonderful one. What it is, it's the entire book tour, instead of going out to visit bookstores, it's all online. So I'm visiting by sending articles to different websites. I'm talking to co-hosts like you about the book.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, wonderful.
and And persons are reviewing and taking a look at the book and giving me feedback. So it's been a wonderful experience with the YP Publishing Company. Mm-hmm. And I just can't say enough about technology and how the book tour, the whole phenomenon has changed.
Yeah, it has. And I've had other guests who have done virtual book tours, and they have had such a wonderful experience. I hope people will go to your website. You can buy the book. You can get the free downloads. There's audio. It's quite a effective way to market a book, and it's also an effective way to experience virtual book selling. It's a new thing. Now, let's talk a little bit about some of the topics that you discuss during this tour. First of all, we want to know how we can be three steps ahead of office drama. And we know that takes place, don't we?
I can write a book about it.
I bet you.
In fact, that's my fourth book. But using emotional intelligence to be three steps ahead of office drama, you need at least three skills. And the first one I talked about was emotional literacy, naming your emotions. And that's necessary for you to recognize your patterns. Uh-huh. Because if you don't recognize your patterns, someone else will. And they will push your buttons and trigger you, causing you to participate in office drama. It can also cause you to be at the receiving end of office drama if you're unaware of how your actions and your responses or reactions are being perceived. So recognizing your emotions would be the second thing, the second skill that you would need to develop. And then the third skill is in that split second that we talked about earlier, is to understand the consequences of your actions. And you won't be able to think it through, but you may have a feeling that, you know what, if I do this, perhaps I need to take a step back because I'm not going to like the outcome.
Yeah. And one of the things you talk about is don't take it personally. That's hard to do.
I know. I could write a book about that. Especially there's a term called HSPs, highly sensitive people. And they tend to, they're empathic and they feel every emotion. And it's very difficult not to take it personally. But the reason I say that it's not personal is everybody's buttons are personal to them. And you may have triggered it, but that reaction is not personal to you. It's personal to that person that's having the reaction. Mm-hmm. So anybody triggering them in the same way would get the same response.
All right. Now, how do you, what are your tips for women, especially young women, who have just graduated from college and they're going into the business world? And I'm sure these tips would apply to young men too. Share some tips for them.
You know, one of the things in that whole process of looking for a job is managing your emotions, because typically part of the process is receiving rejection letters or no letters saying, you know, we're sorry, we don't have, you know, anything available. And after you receive so many of those after a while, it tends to affect you. Even the first one can have the same effect as the 20th.
But, oh, absolutely.
And it's important to realize that if you're not the right fit for whatever reason, that's a gift for you. Because you only want to work for an organization that sees you as a fit. So again, it's back to the point about not taking it personally. Because it's not personal. It's just that the organization may have found someone that fits their culture a little bit better, or fits the culture of the team better, or they may have a more appropriate mix of skills. So it's not personal. It's just, it's time to move on and to find the match that you were made for.
Well, I'm sure that anyone who's ever written a book or auditioned for an acting part knows that it's all about rejection, rejection, rejection. And that's good preparation for going into the workplace, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that they can be, new college grads can be aware of is, or that they can use more, is optimism. Because even though the glass may seem half empty, to use a cliche, they still have control. They still, it's not something that's insurmountable. They can make a different decision and go on a different trajectory. And once you always remain in a in an empowered state of being and mind, you can move yourself along without getting bogged down in that whole rejection cycle.
Now, supposedly, the people who are buying your book will be people who have careers and they're trying to improve their career. What advice do you have for someone that can help them determine if they're in the right career or if they should quit and seek another job?
There's an exercise that I do when I coach persons, and it's called Lights On. And what it is when you ask someone to talk about their job and or their career, and they start to talk about it, and they start smiling, and that smile comes from deep within their soul, and they can't help but to start giggling when they're talking about what it is that they are doing in their careers, their lights are on. And then you have persons that answer the question and, you know, they're looking up in to the left or the right. I can't remember which direction it's supposed to be and trying to think about it. And to me, their lights are off.
Okay.
And it's when I'm going through that process with people that I work with, it's always so clear when the lights are on.
Okay. Well, that's the lights in their eyes. They're glowing, and that is what happens when people are happy, isn't it?
Yes, it's a deep inner happiness, and they can't hide it. No matter how many times I ask them the same question, the response, the inner response, overtakes the words.
Absolutely. You know, speaking of responses, we're going to hear from our sponsors with a wonderful response. And when we come back, we're going to talk about advice you have for women going into the workplace and what to do when you are dealing with difficult personalities. We'll be right back with Yvette Bethel.
January is thrilled to be welcoming Dr. Nancy Irwin, who will be co-hosting on iHeartRadio with January Jones. As a doctor of psychology, clinical hypnotist, and author of U-Turn, Changing Direction in Midlife, Dr. Nancy is an agent for change. Many people believe that change can be scary, but she believes it can actually be creative and fun. She does know a thing or two about change because at age 44, she transitioned from a stand-up comedian to shrink. Oh, believe her, the road from comedy to mental health is very short indeed. Most fears are learned, and the good news is whatever we learned, we can unlearn. Smoking, overeating, fear of public speaking, test anxiety, what have you. On our show, we'll be discussing how you can dissolve that negative programming and free your inner winner. Change is inevitable. You can either affect it or accept it. Visit her site, drnancyirwin.com. Layla, a book by Jeannie Kerrigan, will take you on a journey. A raw, heart-wrenching journey. The final resting place? Love. Jeannie is an author, healer, and executive director of Ricky's Revolution Nonprofit. You can get your copy of her book at JeannieKerrigan.com. Ricky's Revolution comes directly out of Layla, dedicated to helping homeless runaway youths and victims of sex trafficking reach a place of safety We distribute Jeannie's monkey named Ricky with vital hotline numbers embroidered on him free to children on the street through loving collaboration with thousands. Proceeds from the book and your donations have saved lives. Ricky'sRevolution.org. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with my lovely guest today, Yvette Bethel, the author of Equilibrium, Unleash the Power of Your Emotional Intelligence. Yvette, let's talk a little bit about dealing with difficult personalities in the workplace, because, you know, when I come across difficult personalities in my life, I tend to want to ignore them, or I don't like confrontation, so I tend to walk away. But you can't do that in the workplace, can you?
You have to be strategic about it. It's not always in your best interest to walk away.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's the nice part about being your own boss, I say.
You know, that it reminds me of an experience I had recently being my own boss,
yeah,
with a client, and they made an accusation toward me, and I got really angry. And I took a step back, mm-hmm, and I didn't respond right then, because I knew that if I responded using my emotional intelligence, I would have wrecked the entire working relationship.
Yeah.
Because I was livid. And about a week later, I addressed it, and knowing the way the office politics works,
mm-hmm,
I addressed it because I was a lot more calm about the about the whole situation. I wasn't angry anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I not only addressed it with the person, I spoke to a few people that I knew she would have told.
Okay.
And sure enough, each person I spoke with, oh yes, so and so mentioned that to me. Uh-huh. So I was exactly accurate in, mm-hmm, understanding the consequences of waiting.
And that is a very smart thing to do.
in that situation, I decided to save the working relationship, but in the end, I paid a small price, but I would have paid a greater price if I had reacted with, mm-hmm, the level of anger that I was experiencing.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about glass ceilings. What's your thoughts about women who are in the workplace and they want to thrive in sometimes what is basically a man's world? In your opinion, is it getting easier for women, or is it still so very difficult?
From my perspective, things are changing. And what used to be is back in, I think, the 80s, where women had to wear these boxy suits and,
mm-hmm,
look more masculine. Now women are going to work in dresses and those types of, you know, looking more feminine. Mm-hmm. So that has changed. The glass ceilings, you know, when I sit in boardrooms and I meet with boards and executives, there, uh-huh, still aren't a whole lot of women in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of them at the manager level, mid-management level, but not, I don't see them a good balance at the board and executive levels. Not yet, but I do see some progress. So things are moving, but a bit slowly, but.
Well, I'm sure, you know, that for most women, it couldn't go fast enough, but it does take time, and we certainly do have a ways to go. You know, I wanted to share with you recently, my husband and I went to Army reunion, the 114th Aviation Company, and it was in Tennessee, and we went to Dollywood. And this is where Dolly Parton has this fabulous museum. And talking about what women wear to work, they had so many of her costumes from that fabulous movie, 9 to 5.
9 to 5, I remember that.
And I mean, this was one of my favorite movies. Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, they all did such a magnificent job. And couldn't believe the costumes, the clothes they wore. And I can't believe it because I lived through it myself. And
shoulder pads and all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really unbelievably humorous that people even wore that. And now I seem to feel and see that women are dressing for comfort, aren't they?
Yes, and the femininity is more evident. So things are shifting. It could shift in terms of the glass ceiling a bit faster, but there is a shift.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. And I'm happy to have been able to share you with my listeners today. And good luck with your virtual book tour. And when your next book comes out, let me know and we'll have you back.
Oh, fabulous. It would be a pleasure.
Okay, to my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today with Yvette Bethel. My upcoming guests will amaze, amuse, and astonish you just like Yvette did today. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We really love sharing our stories and our struggles and, oh yes, all of our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, please stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. If that doesn't work, you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate, or you can start reading EQ Librium. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey. And reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones. This is Sorantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity. as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.